National Health Service a bit run down? Waiting too long for that tedious little operation? Fed up with excuses and delay? Then why not do it yourself? Our complete home doctor course will take you step by step through simple theory to complex surgery with no waiting, mucking about, or fuss. Use simple tools found in the home and around the garage. If you can service your own central heating boiler, then you can perform your own colostomy. After all, it's all plumbing, isn't it? Part 1, getting acquainted with your bodily parts. In any operation of any sort, it's as well to know where everything is before starting the job. There's nothing more frustrating than raking around the body cavity looking for lost organs. Get a copy of Grey's Anatomy. It's the medical equivalent of a Haynes manual and has a nice big illustration of what all your inner bits look like and a good map of where to find them. You'll need a good set of tools to work with, so search out some nice sharp knives, bone saws, power drills and the like. Get them sterilized by plunging them into boiling water. Watch it with the power drills, though. Make sure they're dry before you plug them in. You'll need a good, firm, flat surface to work on and plenty of light. Remember, you'll be working on yourself whilst lying down, so you may need a mirror fixed to the ceiling for some of the jobs. Be sure to fix it firmly. In most homes, the kitchen table is the most convenient place to work from, since it usually has a nice, white, clean surface. Tidy away any food that's been left lying around and bolt the cat flap. You know how inquisitive cats can be when you're busy in the kitchen. The last thing you want is for your moggy to leg it over the fence with something vital halfway through the job.
Tiddles, come back with that liver.
While some of you may think it obvious, I will still point out that when looking in the mirror, everything appears back to front. Don't make the beginner's mistake of looking for the appendix on the wrong side. It'll take you hours to find it. Well, that's preparation dealt with, and after the break, we'll take a look at a simple amputation. Welcome back to Do-It-Yourself Home Surgery. Well, the easiest bit of surgery to master is the simple amputation. so often necessary when earlier or bodge jobs have gone septic and become infected. First, prepare the operating table by clearing off the clutter and then lie down. Make sure you have all the tools you're going to need close to hand before you start. It's not a bad idea to move the table over to the gas stove, since you're going to need lots of hot water to sterilize things, and if you strap yourself down to the table, you won't be able to reach them.
Oh, blast.
Let's assume that you're going to amputate a leg at this stage, since it'll leave both your hands free for the operation, and you would easily reach it from a seated position. Now, having marked the leg just above a major joint, bind the leg securely to stop it moving around. Tighten the tourniquet and prepare to make your first incision.
Hang on a moment.
Now, you're thinking at this stage, just a minute, he's forgotten something.
Quite right.
But now, when operating on oneself, the use of anesthetic can be very dangerous indeed. Any hint of woosiness, nausea or vomiting, all common side effects of painkilling drugs, could cause untold damage. Yeah. Imagine nodding off to sleep while sawing one's leg off. No. Far too messy. The trick is to work quickly and keep your mind busy. Right. Anyway, you've tightened the tourniquet, marked the position. Now let's go.
Right, I'm ready.
Then let's have some good stirring, soaring your leg off music. Remember, speed is of the essence, so work quickly and quietly. Cut neatly around with the knife to expose the bone. Then saw all the way through the bone. If you're using power tools, make sure you don't saw through the table as well. Ha 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 ha. You'd be surprised how many get caught like that. Secure all bleeding points by clamping or cautery, that is, by the application of a red-hot iron. Clean and seal the wound, and neatly cut flaps and stitch over the stump, making sure you've left enough to attach a prosthetic leg to. What's that? You don't have one to hand? Don't worry, that old table leg you accidentally sawed off will do nicely. Now take a rest and make yourself a nice hot cup of tea. Oops. Don't forget, you've only got the one leg now. Well, that was easy, wasn't it? Clear up the mess, and after the next break, we'll look at a slightly more complicated procedure.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. Picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Once I never could have hoped to win. You're starting down the road, leaving me again. The threats you made were meant to cut me down. And if my love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. Better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time. Picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm still standing.
Get Yourself Surgery Part 3, Advanced Abdominal Surgery. Now you've practiced a little and you're feeling more confident, why not have a go at those gallstones? Gallstones are fairly easy to spot and not too troublesome to dispose of. Indeed, many people have them polished and mounted, cut into cufflinks or earrings. Some of the really huge ones can be shaped into door handles or paperweights. Quite tasteful, really, and they come in all sorts of colours and patterns. So how can we get them out? Use the first preoperative procedure as before, making sure to wash your hands and abdomen first. Remember, hygiene is all important in this business. Don't use the same knife you used to peel the potatoes without first washing it thoroughly. Now, let's look up the gallbladder in Grey's Anatomy and make a decision about where to go in. If you have a torch and you don't mind breaking about, it doesn't much matter really exactly where you go in. So look for a place where the scar won't show too much if that sort of thing bothers you. Then plunge on in and let's take a look. What we're looking for is an organ that rattles. None of the others should, so let's hold them up and shake them one at a time. When you find the culprit, just poke a little hole into it and squeeze out the stones. Be careful, though, not to poke holes in the wrong organ. Most of them contain something, and you don't want anything leaking when you put it back.
Good Lord, I don't remember eating that.
Which brings us to the next big problem. Internal organs all look very much the same. So how can we be sure that we put them back in the right order? The best precaution is to number them and lay them out on a big board as you take them out.
One, two...
Luckily, they're all pretty slippery, and they will eventually settle back to the right place if not too disturbed. Just stir them around a bit and let nature and gravity do its thing. Then, pull the sides of the abdomen back together and stitch. Make sure you haven't put anything in there that wasn't there before. Keep a firm track of things like scalpels, swabs, and power drills. Don't plug anything in until you check it's not still inside you. Above all, don't lose track of the cat. They're forever hunting around for a warm place to crawl into, and they're certainly not beyond dropping a litter of kittens in there whilst you're otherwise distracted. Well, that wasn't so bad, was it? Stay tuned for part 4, Introducing Foreign Objects into the Body.
Change your heart. Look around you. Change your heart. It will astound you. I need your loving like the sunshine. And everybody's gotta learn sometime. Everybody's gotta learn sometime. Everybody's gotta learn sometime. Change your heart. Look around you. Change your heart, it will astound you. I need your loving like the sunshine. And everybody's gotta learn sometime. Everybody's gotta learn sometime. Everybody's gotta learn sometime.
Home Surgery Part 4. Introducing Foreign Objects into the Body. Implants, Transplants and Repairs. This is a minefield for the inexperienced. Our bodies have all sorts of defense mechanisms to prevent us doing this. So an in-depth knowledge of immune suppressors, anticoagulants and the like is vital to experimenters in this area. Altogether, too dodgy for the average DIY man, though there are still some little jobs that can be tackled by the experienced home surgeon. Take, for instance, that dodgy old arthritic hip joint. First, prepare yourself for surgery, as before, making a deep incision about halfway down the body, on one side, level with the pelvis, and try to find the hip bone. Well, it's not hard to spot, especially if it's ossified. So work your way down to reveal the joint. Saw through the bone, just below the joint, at a point where it seems nice and firm. Take a firm grip on the old joint, pull upwards and outwards. Now take the artificial joint.
Oh no.
Well, I did tell you to prepare for this. You can buy them at any medical suppliers for just a few quid.
No.
Anyway, you can see that it has a sharp end and a blunt end. So if you examine the old thigh bone, you'll see that it's hollow. Just squeeze in some super glue, stick the sharp end of the prosthetic in, and whack it a few times with a hammer. Now simply push the blunt end back into the socket and bob's your auntie. Sew up and secure all bleeding points, then lie down and have a short rest. Over now to our medical expert, Boris Doppelganger.
Good afternoon, boys and girls. Just a few words of caution before you embark on your hobby. It is illegal to perform operations on friends, no matter how often they ask. And you should never operate on a stranger, especially for money. Wash your hands thoroughly and don't eat or smoke whilst operating.
And be careful how you dispose of those old limbs. Well, that's it, chums. Have fun and don't forget to bolt that cat flap. Time now on the Intrepid Birdman Show for a little culture. Television has its soap operas. Well, now BLR has its own answer to El Dorado. Vlad the Impaler, an everyday story of impaling folk.
We present Vlad the Impaler, an everyday story of 14th century tyranny high in the Carpathian Mountains.
Morning, Brunhilde. How's things with the Dracules in Madeira?
Oh, I'm a bit worried about our Vlad.
Who are was the young scallywag been up to now then, eh?
Oh, just the usual stuff, you know, impaling people, sticking beggars on big pointy sticks and the like.
Whoa.
But I think he's been overdoing it a bit lately.
Ooh.
Yes, he's been up with a lark, banging around till lunchtime, chopping off heads and all. Then without so much as a ploughman's lunch, he's off again all afternoon, and then half the night as well. It's not healthy, I tell you, he's driving himself too hard.
Now, don't take on now, it's just a phase, it'll run its course and then it'll peter out, don't you worry.
Oh, you
now.
Don't know the half of it, Ned. He's been so busy round the castle, I can't find a single serving wench that's not been impaled, some of them twice.
So what's his father doing about it then?
Oh, nothing. He's blooming useless these days. Just hangs there moaning all the time.
Anybody seen young Vlad?
Oh, I expect he's banging around in the village somewhere.
Thanks very much, dear.
Oh, that sounds like him now. Put kettle on, Ned. He can turn right moody if his tea's not on when he gets in.
Me all this tyranny. What's for me tea?
Well, it was going to be Kipper, but I'm afraid the cat got it.
Did it? Come out. Push. That'll teach you.
Or it might have been sausages, but old Bonzo the Rottweiler was hanging about in the kitchen. My mother came over earlier.
Bloody typical of your side of the family. Don't see him for months and then they eat you out of house and home. Take that, you old bag of
Let's eat out.
You know that's put me in the mood for a song. Ned, do you know any good impaling music? Come on, get your belly like it out. You always said the bloody dunk when you should learn it all. Yours, Dave, the sweetest flower, and crush it till the petals fall. You always say some terrible word, some awful thing you can't recall. Like, don't talk to me before 9 o'clock, or I'll nail you to the castle wall. Take it away, Ned.
You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always take the sweetest rose and crush it till the petals fall. You always break the kindest heart with a hasty word you can't recall.
Hit the road, you bum!
So if I broke
crunch
your heart last night, it's because I love you most of all.
Glad the singing Impaler will be back at the same time next week, when he'll take his wife to a restaurant and prove that you can't beat a good steak. Still to come on this afternoon's programme, Hilly Downs with a fabulous hot gossip, Alex Wright and Busby Barclay rifling through Reuters, and Chris Law tells us a story about his private parts in the Sunday Moon. Switch it off now, while you've still got a chance. The Intrepid Birdman Show on BLR. That's all right, don't milk it, dear. Come on, off you go. Over now to Alex Wright for the latest in amazing stories from England, the Empire and abroad.
Daiichi Sayaku Medicine has started selling a music compact disc which it claims stimulates hair growth and starts new hair growing in areas where growth has ceased. As you'd expect, the music is used in conjunction with a special liquid which is massaged into the scalp.
Now there's a surprise. Yeah. Go on.
DSM has been selling the CD in parallel with its hair-growing liquid, claiming that the type of music on the disc actually stimulates hair growth. According to the company, Dr. Takashi Moriyahu of Tokyo Psychiatric Medical Laboratory has recommended the combination of classical music.
Remarkable, yeah?
Dr. Moriyahu says that the music creates a relaxed atmosphere that encourages the blood supply to the scalp to run a lot smoother, which in turn stimulates the cells in the scalp to grow more hair. The scientist claims to have tested the CD on a group of 40-year-old business people. He says, when the music is played, the alpha wave patterns of their brain cells were observed to increase, and their temperature rose. Daiichi Sayaku recommends that users apply the firm's hair-nurturing liquid while listening to the CD after a bath. This unique CD contains several classical music titles, such as works by Mozart. The CD on its own costs around $18 and has already sold 12,000 copies through the drugstores that stock it. At this sales level, the CD looks like it's become a hit, as normal classical CDs only tend to sell 10,000 units before being acknowledged as a bestseller.
Sounds like a complete lot of waffle to me. So let's try it out. In Studio 2, we're going to play the CD music to you now and apply that lotion.
I think it's working. Ah, oh yes, I definitely feel something happening. Yes, I can definitely feel that hair bursting through me follicles. By Jove.
Truly remarkable, though slightly unbelievable. It's a jolly good job this is radio. How did the Japanese could have come up with a wacky idea like that? Music to grow hair by. We're going to give some to Tony Walker, the station manager, a little later on. He's got lovely curly hair all the way down his back. Looks rather fetching, but it'll look better on his head, I'm sure. Well, lots more interesting stuff coming shortly, but first, one way and another, here's Debbie Harry.
I will drive past your house and
From Reuters, Amsterdam, July the 24th. Piece of news that puts a new slant on care in the community. The Dutch authorities ruled that a local council must provide paid sex for a handicapped man unable to have normal physical relations. All part of the civic services. The provincial government told leaders of the community of Noorduustpolder that the town must cover part of the cost for a 31-year-old severely disabled man to have sex once a month with a woman who specialises in servicing the handicapped. Now let me tell you that in this country it's difficult enough to get someone to come round and make you a cup of tea. I think I'm contemplating going on a hang gliding holiday in the Netherlands next year. Anyone else want to come? Over now to young Alex Wright, who has discovered a remarkable source of cheap mortgages.
It sounds quite wonderful. Yes, I don't know if you've seen these adverts from Barrett's where they say that they will pay the first 6 months of your mortgage on their houses.
Yes, seen them and done them. Yes.
Well, indeed, yes. Well, apparently someone, in fact, is trying to get Barrett's to pay for half his house. He managed to take out a one-year mortgage on one of their most expensive properties and then ask them to pay for the first half. I think his intention was that after 6 months he'd change the mortgage to a longer one. It's going through the courts at the moment.
Well, it sounds perfectly reasonable to me.
It does rather, yes.
Any reason why that can't succeed, do you think?
Well, apparently he has a signed statement to the effect that they would pay the first 6 months of the mortgage, regardless of the total mortgage period. So,
and they know at no time specified how long the mortgage was to be for?
If they said regardless of the total mortgage period, I guess that's what it means in law.
So don't try this one at home, kiddies. Next.
Police in Tokyo are looking for a man who has sold over 14,000 copies of his home video. He's a Ferrari driver who strapped a video camera to the back of the driver's seat and filmed himself going for a drive. Nothing illegal in this, you might think. But once they had discounted the possibility of trick effects, the police had to admit that he really was driving at 192 miles per hour through Ibaraki in the northeast corner of the city. The maximum speed limit there is 60 miles an hour.
And how many copies of his video did he sell?
Which junction was the M25? 14,000 copies.
Yes. No problem paying his speeding fine, I imagine. Tell us something from the troubled world of human relationships, Alex.
Well, this one, another wedding one here. Asked why she had hidden the body of her lover, Mr. John Royce, after she had shot him, Miss Nicolette Lawrence said, "My daughter was getting married in 3 days' time, and I didn't want to miss the wedding."
That's jolly considerate of her, I thought.
Yes, and talking about dead things,
mm-hmm.
Interviewed by Janie Medola for Consumer Quadrant, Mr. Darren West of Fairport, New York said, "We are offering a further life memory service. For $25 a year, we send a beautiful card to those you left behind on their birthdays. Just think, although you passed away many months ago, your family will get a card saying, 'On this special day of your life, take joy in the fact that those who have travelled on would give anything to be in your shoes.'"
Frankly, I think that somebody dead has already been in my shoes. They certainly smell pretty rough. Difficult to imagine a member of the Choir Invisible wishing to come down here and jump into those. Anyway, thanks a lot, Alex. We'll be back shortly.
Yes, I would.
And we'll be dipping once more into Alex Wright's gander bag of world and local affairs just shortly. But first of all, have you got a whinge? Something you want to get off your chest? Listen to the Sunday Moan a little later on in the programme, and if you feel you could whinge more entertainingly, then write to us at the Intrepid Birdman Show, BLR, Unit 4, the Bromley Mall, Bromley Kent, BR1, 1TS, and if we broadcast your moan, you win a T-shirt.
Mist hangs on the water, first light of Christmas in Japan. Time flows like the ocean. Sometimes I just don't understand. Hold on, be strong. Soon now, somehow I'm coming home. One day. On the hillside, clouds rush across the winter moon. Can't say how I miss you. I know I'll be flying homeward soon. Coming home.
Build yourself a bathysphere. Yes, these fun little submersibles are designed for underwater research and are capable of independent motion at considerable depth. Yes, great fun for all the family. You too can enjoy all the benefits of underwater research at a fraction of the cost. So, how can you get started? Quite simply, send £100 in a plain brown envelope to Acme Universal Underwater Submarine Company, Box Number 1, BLR. And we'll send you a simple set of plans showing how to construct a pair of cast iron hemispheres that can be held together by water pressure. And a free plexiglass dome. You'll have to provide your own lead shot, petroleum ballast, and oxygen. Well, here's one we prepared earlier. And as you can see, it's a jolly super craft. We're about ready for our first sea trials now, and we hope to catch you all down there somewhere. Good luck! Look out for those jellyfish, and don't forget to take plenty of oxygen. Bye-bye!
One of them's got a gun to shoot the other one. myself, though we're never gonna survive unless we have a little. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy, though we're never gonna survive.
News has just reached us of a remarkable hijacking. Two policemen investigating a burglary had their car hijacked by a 12-stone dog. Black Newfoundland hound Toby jumped in after they'd jumped out and stretched his 6-foot length across the front seats. PCs Derek Scott and Alan Peacock identified the snoozing Toby from his collar and tried in vain for 15 minutes to lug him out. Failing miserably, the only course open to them was to snuggle in beside him, and so they returned to their police station at Southampton at a leisurely 5 miles an hour. When they arrived, 4 policemen there tried to move Toby out with a rope, but he only shifted when Inspector Bob Golding waved a chocolate bar under his nose. Toby's owner, Paul Wales, 39, of Bassett, Southampton, later collected Toby. He said, "Toby loves travelling in cars. He sleeps in the garden normally because it's cooler there, and he must have climbed the fence and escaped." The dog's owner was at pains to explain to the police the worst injury they might have suffered was that they could have been licked to death. Now, more animal stories from Alex.
Romeo, a rude rhesus monkey, was banished to the jungle last February after 66 days behind bars for being a sex beast. He had molested at least 30 young women, mostly nurses, at the government-run Singh Hospital in Jammu, Kashmir. He groped at their breasts and tried to kiss and cuddle them. Staff threw stones at him, but this failed to deter. The last straw came when he started making obscene gestures and the nurses threatened to strike. Wildlife officials and police finally lured him into a trap.
A disturbing thought here is, what sort of trap did they use? And what indeed did they use for bait? Fairly disturbing question, that, I'm sure. Well, there'll be more monkey business from Alex just shortly. But first, I invite you all to step this way. We'll be right back. Yes, well, that's quite enough of that heavy music stuff. I think it's time now to pop back to Alex Wright with another fresh page from Reuters and a tale of bureaucracy gone mad in the land of the free.
Some years ago, the voters of California, in one of their typical fits of irrationality, passed an initiative called Prop 65 that required all businesses in the state to post warnings if they sold any products or used any materials that could cause cancer at any level of exposure.
Sounds perfectly sensible to me.
For those of you who know anything about the subject, this means that very nearly every business in the state now has to have a Prop 65 warning label on their products, or at least in their store. Tobacco smoke causes cancer, so every store in the state that sold cigarettes had to have a sign. In fact, there doesn't seem to be any store that doesn't have such a sign. To bring all the gun dealers in the state into compliance, the Ammunition Makers Trade Group sent every gun shop in California a Prop 65 warning sign that informs the public that bullets contained lead and are therefore potentially hazardous because they might cause cancer.
Which leads one to imagine a scenario that might go something like this.
Stand still, copper. This gun's loaded and I'm not frightened to blow your head off.
Very on, old chum. They look like real lead bullets in that gun.
Yes, I do believe they is, but times are hard.
Then you're being highly irresponsible.
Eh?
Don't you realise that those lead bullets could give someone cancer or worse?
Cancer? Oh, blimey, no, I never realised that. Well, there's a thing. Well, I'd just have to saw your head off instead. How would that be? Would you mind?
That would be much better. But next time you go shopping, remember, shop more responsibly. It's right. Not just your own health you're risking.
Right. Oh, I'll try to remember that, officer. Would you mind just stepping this way? Just stick your head there.
Well, try not to get any blood on the pavement. Someone might slip.
Well, what a way to make a living, isn't it?
Oh, I say, that's rather painful.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
Stressing out.
You're listening to the Intrepid Birdman Show here in the fabulous studios of ELR, where Alex Wright is digging through his gander bag and has another story of prenuptial bliss for us all.
Having asked for her wedding music to be to the tune of Everything I Do It For You, from the soundtrack of my favourite film, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Miss Jennifer James of Dundee was surprised when the last-minute replacement organist sent her down the aisle to the tune of Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Riding Through the Glen.
Nearly the same, quite stirring actually, and I'm sure the ceremony was over a lot quicker for it. But unfortunately, it's not only wedding ceremonies that suffer at the hands of the incompetent.
It seems that at Chelmsford Crematorium a while back, one of the undertakers, rather than filling the bottom of the coffin with sawdust or wood shavings, which apparently helps hold the corpse in position in case you were wondering, filled the bottom with polystyrene beads, which did the job just as well. However, when the coffin came out of its holding pattern and finally made it to the furnace, something strange happened. All of the polystyrene melted, releasing no small amount of gas, which of course had nowhere to go until the obvious happened and the coffin exploded. The explosion was so violent that it cracked the base of the chimney. Meanwhile, another party of grieving relatives had just seen their dead granny disappear through the door into the furnace when there was this almighty explosion.
And still on the subject of death?
Punk rocker Jan Bruce killed himself when he stuck his toe in a plug socket to try and spike up his hair. The 18-year-old was going out for the night when he found he'd run out of hairspray. He thought an electric shock would stand his hair on end, but instead it threw him across the lounge of his flat, he hit his head on a guitar and died instantly.
Some days it just doesn't pay to get out of bed, does it? Thanks a lot, Alex. We'll be looking forward to some more of the same at about the same time next week. Thanks, Alex, for that stimulating dip into your gander bag, and we'll be looking forward to seeing more of you next week. Nurse, quickly, the screen's not that much more. Over now to the Three Bladders public house, where Chris Lord is about to vent forth his spleen with the Sunday Moan.
ever been in a doctor's waiting room and picked up a magazine? I was there a couple of weeks ago. I picked up this magazine, started reading it, and I discovered Elvis had died. I was heartbroken. I was so upset. By the time I got in to see the doctor, I was in tears. And he had a look, and he showed me. And, you know, the date on the magazine, it was 1978. Well, nobody had told me Elvis was dead. And I really like that Oliver's Army as well. I don't know, outside sitting there, you think, why is it the person who comes into the waiting room after you always gets called in first? I've been sitting in the waiting room for over an hour, yeah? Reading the magazine, and this old lady comes in. She sits down and immediately gets called. She'd hardly got her knitting out, and I'd been there an hour, and I bet there was nothing wrong with her. You know what these old ladies are like. About appointments, though. My doctor, he actually allows 3 minutes per patient. I mean, what good is 3 minutes? You get in, you say, "Doctor, I've got this problem." And he says, "Oh, really? Tell me about it." And you start to explain, and he's probably looking at his watch, thinking, "Next!" I feel like going in and saying, "Doctor, I've got this problem. I can't move my left arm. I've got no feeling in my thumb. My right eye is blurry. If you want to go now, give you a chance to go to the loo before your next patient." But I mean, 3 minutes. No wonder you're always kept waiting. You know, you make an appointment for 9 o'clock. You think, yeah, I can just get to work on time. You get there, and you ask the receptionist if the doctor's running on time. And she says his 8:30 appointment hasn't arrived yet. Well, that's all right, except they're gonna wait for him. What about the receptionist, though? I mean, why do they ask so many questions? You arrive at 9 o'clock, and you say, "I'm here for my 9 o'clock appointment." And she says, "Can I have your name?" "My name? My name's Chris Law. It's the name written against 9 o'clock on your appointments book, you stupid woman." "And when was the last time you came, Mr. Law?"
"Look, I'm ill! What does that matter?"
"I went to Charing Cross Hospital the other week. I had this pain in my testicles." "You have to go to the accident and emergency desk." So I got there, gave them my name, and they said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I've got a pain in my testicles." They said, "I'm sorry?" And I said, "I've got a pain in my testicles." She said, "Ah, I see. Now, where exactly is the pain?" And I said, "It's in my testicles." She said, "I'm sorry, where?" And there's this queue behind me of people, you know, with blood oozing out of their hands and their wrists in bandages. And she's deaf.
"It's in my testicles."
"No, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. It's this glass, you see. You'll have to speak up a bit." In the end, I turned round and I said,
"It's in my testicles!"
And she went redder than I did. Well, redder than my testicles, anyway. I had to give a sample the last time I went to the doctor. You know, he said, "Here you go. Do me a sample, will you? Toilet's just down the corridor." And he gave me this large glass bottle, like a wine decanter, except more obvious. And I had to walk from the doctor's office to the toilet, past all these people. And of course, it's impossible to hide a large glass bottle. So you walk past with all these people thinking, "He's got to do a sample." "Wonder what's wrong with him, eh? Pain in the testicles?" And you get in the loo and you think, how am I going to fill this? I went before I came. I'm never going to go now. And then there's a queue of people who want to go to the loo. And there's only one. So there you are, trying to fill a bottle with people banging on the door outside, saying, "Excuse me, are you going to be long, mate?" "Oh, I don't know how long I'm going to be. I have to fill this enormous large glass bottle." And you're thinking about fountains and rain and waterfalls. And then you notice that the bottle opening is absolutely tiny. Now, you trust doctors, don't you? You always do what they say. I had a doctor once, I mean, I don't go to him anymore, but I went to him and he asked me to stand by the window. So I did. And he asked me to stick my tongue out. Well, I did that. After a while, I said, "Look, why am I doing this?" And he said he didn't like the woman over the road. I hate doctors. That's why I always do my own surgery.
Chris Lorre is currently appearing in What? No Chesticles at the West Middlesex Hospital. If you've got a whinge that you'd like to get off your chest and you'd like it broadcast to the world in particular and Bromley in peculiar, then why not write to us at BLR Unit 4, the Bromley Mall, Bromley, Kent, postcode BR11TS, and if your whinge is aired, you could win a spectacular BLR T-shirt. Coming up next on the programme, Hilly's Hot Gossip and, of course, the end bit.
The past few weeks, media gossip has probably made you groan in dismay, especially if you hear another mention of Fergie and Mella's freebie exotic holidays and toe-sucking lovers, the rising and falling interest rates, or dare I say it, the almost forgotten Maastricht Treaty. Some incidents have been put to good use, though, such as the Diana Gate tapes, which have been turned into a new dance track record. The hilarious dance record starring Princess Di and her close friend James Gilby is set to take the charts by storm. It's performed by a mystery band, House of Windsor. It features extracts from the Diana Gate tapes, mixed into a brilliant club backing. In one line, Di says, "I love it, I love it, I love it. I've never had it before." Followed by Mr. Gilby sighing, "Oh, squidgy, squidgy, squidgy." 2,000 copies of the 12-inch version are being secretly delivered to clubs all over the country this week. The brains behind Squidgy are the crew at Birmingham-based Network Record, the team who produced KWS's number one, Please Don't Go, and other hits by bands such as Alternate. The people at the studios reckon it is a dead cert for number one slot, and having listened to it, I wouldn't disagree. Teenage clubbers are getting high on super strong cola, which contains twice the caffeine of normal fizzy drinks. The youngsters guzzle the attractive coloured bottles and cans of American-made Jolt to keep them dancing non-stop at all-night raves. Many are drinking it instead of taking ecstasy and acid because it's much cheaper at around £1 a bottle. But medical experts warn that revellers could suffer alarming side effects if they down too much of it. Jolt contains more than 70 milligrams of caffeine a bottle, compared with just 35 in normal cola. Caffeine can be very harmful, obviously, in large quantities. If ravers drink 5 or 6 bottles of Jolt in one night, coming off it can lead to withdrawal symptoms like sleeplessness, headaches, irritability, and disorientation. Jolt is being sold at top clubs, including the Milk Bar, London, the Dry Bar, Manchester, and Back to Basics in Leeds and the Tunnel in Glasgow. Troubled rocker Mick Jagger blew his top when a photographer tried to snap him outside a top Hollywood hotel. He rushed up to Alan Zanger, started swearing, and jabbed his finger at the cameraman's face. Zanger said he shouted, "Don't take my picture." He was so close our faces were almost touching. Rolling Stone Jagger recently split from model wife Jerry Hall, and Zanger added that the strain must be getting too much for him. He looked tired and haggard. Well, he would say that if he was that close to the face, wouldn't he? As I look out for more interesting gossip during the week, try looking out for Bob Geldof's Big Breakfast, starting tomorrow on Channel 4, and send me in any comments you may have. Nothing can be worse than the political chaos we have recently been subjected to, but you never know, do you?
We'll be right back.
Well, Brian, what did you make of it?
But I fell asleep in the middle of it.
Well, I quite liked it. But then I quite like most things, really, if they're free.
If they're free, yes. Well, yes.
You can't expect much from local radio anyway, can you?
Mostly drivel.
Dark as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
And on the shaft and all the staggering blitz from the senses, the intrepid birdman was played by two identical Chesterfield supers. Billy Dange was played by blowing gently in her ear. Alex Wright and Busby Berkeley played quietly in the corner on their own. And Chris Law was playing by himself. Chris Law appears by kind permission of the Intensive Care Ward, Middlesex Hospital. The entire Intrepid Birdman show was adapted for radio by shouting very loudly across the room into a microphone. And we'll be back at the same time next week.
Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Say goodbye, Overtinis.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye. On the senses, the Intrepid Birdman was played by two identical gorillas. Billy Dange was played by the Belgian Philharmonic Orchestra, and Busby Berkeley was played by blowing gently in her ear. Alex Wright wasn't playing at all. The Intrepid Birdman show is adapted for radio by shouting very loudly into a microphone, and we'll be back on this frequency again at the same time next week. Well, look forward to seeing you then. Bye-bye, boys and girls. Bye-bye.
Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Say goodbye, Overtinis.
Good.